I want to preach to you today and talk to you today about it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Say it back. It's time to fight. Now, God wants to minister something to us today. When Robert was here, I sat there and I wasn't writing Judy a note, but I was writing myself a note. And I wrote on the back of an envelope, we have lost our militancy. We have lost our fervency. And it's time to fight. You can't fight unless there's a fervency in you. How many has ever been in a fight? Women or men. You've been in a literal fight. You knew that you had to do it with fervency or you was going to get your tail kicked. Am I right? You were going to come out of that thing clawed, scratched, black eyes, bloody nose. You knew that if you didn't do it with some fervency, that you were going to lose the fight. Am I right? I want you to know you're in a fight. I'm going to show you today that we are struggling. We are fighting. We are wrestling. Daniel chapter 10. And if you don't know this, church, you're going to get pinned and you're going to get down for the count. It's time to fight. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Scriptures because it speaks about angels and the ministry of prayer and how it works, and it just opens up a lot to us if we'll but allow the Spirit of God to minister it to us. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, this is the angel speaking, Gabriel, more than likely, Gabriel speaking to Daniel. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. When did he hear them? Listen, the first thing you got to understand is that when we pray, God hears it. Now, we go through this thing, well, I'm not righteous enough, or that I've got this junk in my life, and you know, and all that, you got to deal with all that stuff. But what I want us to hear today is that God hears our prayers the first day. The problem is not in our prayers getting to God. Do you see this? When did he hear it? When Daniel prayed it, God heard it. The first day. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now, what the angel did, God said, I hear that prayer, Daniel. All right, Gabriel, now you go, and you take the answer back to Daniel. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then, behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding. I've come to give you an answer. Now get the picture. This is vital. This is vital. Hear this. Is the problem for answered prayers in our getting it to God, or is the problem in answered prayers getting the answer from God back to us? You've got to see this, folks. The battle was not in getting it to God. The battle was in getting it back here. God hears our prayers. Say that back to me. God hears our prayers. The battle is now in the atmosphere. It's in the prince of the powers of the air that hinders the prayer from coming to us. There is a war in heaven. And the war in heaven is principalities, is powers, is demonic forces that stop the work of God. Prayer sent up, God hears it, sends it right back down. Now let me show you this. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. That's all it really needs. Notice that there is a natural king of Persia, then there is this prince of Persia. Now this prince of Persia that we read about in verse 12, this prince of Persia that we read about here is a spirit. It's the prince of Persia. It's the spiritual power in the air. There is a natural power, the king of Persia, and then behind that king of Persia is this spiritual power. Behind the natural, there is the spiritual. And now what was really ruling? Was it the natural force or was it the spiritual force? And we don't wrestle with natural. What do we wrestle with? The spiritual. Now listen, here you got, maybe I can bring it this way to us. I do not like President Clinton. I don't like him. I don't like what he stands for. But I'm not wrestling with him. Because though he is the king of the kingdom of the United States of America, right? There is a demonic force behind him, which is the prince of the kingdom of the United States of America. There is a demon on assignment that forces him. I don't wrestle with him. Who do I wrestle with? the kingdom, the prince of the kingdom of the United States of America. Didn't you hear that? And we have got to get beyond the natural and get a vision of the spiritual. Let's bring it here. I don't like some things that happen in our area, but I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. There is a prince of the kingdom of the area of Lafayette. And evidently, because of the sphere of the people that come here, it goes somewhere down to around Rome, all the way over to Ringgold, up somewhere around Chattanooga. That is evidently the area, the sphere, that this demonic force has. How do I know that? Well, that's where the people come to this church. And 1 Peter tells me that God allocates people to come to a church. And so he puts us here to come against the gates of hell. He says, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he puts people here to come against gates of hell. And so therefore then, that principality rules from that sphere to that sphere, and that's the power that we're wrestling with. That demon is on assignment to stop the answers of the saints of God from getting back to us. There is a war in heaven. Now we hear this stuff about the war in heaven and our theologies and our doctrines and stuff. You know, we throw that somewhere up in, out yonder somewhere. But 2,000 years ago, this was written about Daniel, over 2,000, 25, 2,700 years ago. Was there a war in heaven then? Now listen, if you listen to the doctrines of men, it will make the word of God of none effect. And you'll be waiting for a war to happen out yonder one day. You won't even know there's a war going on. And see, what we've got to understand is that there is a war in heaven now, even as I speak. And what that demon is doing is hindering the answers of God to his church, to his people. And that'll make you mad. Now, let me tell you why I'm preaching this today, and why I had them specifically to come up and testify about what God is doing. What he did only through prayer. Diana, nobody laid hands. Where did she go? There she is. Nobody laid hands on you and taught you to talk in tongues, did it? She just said, God, I'd like this. And we were up here praying. I was repenting for tolerating. Judy was repenting for controlling. We were all praying. And all Diana simply says is, I want to pray in the Spirit. And she went home and began to pray in the Spirit. It was the power of prayer. Something happened, folks. Something has happened. Happened about 2-3 weeks ago, and it's continuing on right now. Where's Charles? What happened to you just now? Got saved. Folks, I'm telling you something. There is a hole in heaven, and right now we can go to war, folks. We are driving that sucker back. Now listen, this is it. Standing here on a Thursday night praying, he was just anointed with oil. He, out of his own mouth, he said, I felt something come off of me. Jerk, did you bind any devils? Did you cast a devil out of Willis? No. But in the power of prayer, because God is hearing the prayers of his saints, Willis was set free. Folks, this is something. There is an open heaven right now. And it's because of our prayers that we have learned something, and what I want to try to talk about is what's happening and what's going on so that we won't lose it, so that we can continue to fight this fight. Now, do you see this? Well, look at Luke with me, Luke chapter 4. The devil has demons on assignment. But Paul said that he is the prince of this world. Now, I know that we hear teaching, well, he used to be, but he's defeated. Well, he is defeated. But the Bible still says that he is the prince of this world. He is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the prince of darkness. And what we've got to understand, folks, is there are demons on assignment to stop your prayers from being answered. And now that ought to make us militant. That ought to make us angry. And if I can show you today what's happened, if I can show you today and let us see what we're doing, what's happening, then we should be able to continually keep this thing driven back. Now, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted. Is this a bona fide temptation? Is it? Is Jesus really being tempted here? This is a very bona fide temptation. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, note this, For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, get it now. Is the power of the kingdoms of this world given to Satan? And I hear preachers preaching, I hear people talk about, well, you know, he really didn't have that power because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and made it dwell therein. So he really didn't have that power. No, we're talking about two different things. This ball of dirt is the Lord. Amen? But the world, which is the word cosmos, which means the system, the arrangements of things, belong to the devil. It belongs to the Prince of Persia, and there is some demonic force right now activating Bill Clinton. It sure ain't godly. So what we've got to see here then, is this is a bona fide temptation of Jesus Christ. It's a very bona fide. He could have done that. All he had to do was worship him. And you know what Jesus says, it goes right there. Worship the Lord our God only. But what I want us to see is that there is behind the natural, there is spiritual power. And churches are placed in cities. Churches are placed in counties. Churches are strategically placed of the Lord God to come against the gates of hell, people. Now, the picture of that is an army storming hell. An army weaponed for war going against the strongholds of hell. Jesus says, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what that pictures is us armored and ready to go to war, to storm hell's gate, to defeat hell and drive it back. Now, that's the picture of what the church is here for. Folks, we are not saved. We're not translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son to come in and do our churchy thing. We're not to come in here and clap our hands and have a little church service and go home. We're here to war. Why were you translated? Why were you brought into the kingdom of God? You know you weren't brought in for nothing. You know you weren't brought in just to come to church on Sunday morning. We're here to war. Ephesians 6. Now understand what I'm trying to show you is that there is a power that's beyond the natural. It was then, it is now, and it will be until the church defeats it. Do you hear me? Until the church brings down this power, Jesus said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. How's it coming? What does he say do? Pray. Folks, somehow it's coming through prayer. Now listen, when I've gotten fights, I'm still fighting the devil. I didn't do it. Leave me alone. And you didn't either. You balled your fist up, you gritted your teeth, you tucked your head down a little bit so they couldn't smack you in the nose, and you turned it just a little bit so they wouldn't have a crack at it, and you went at it. And you wanted to hurt him, because you knew he wanted to hurt you. Am I right? Or she did. And listen, we can't mamby-pamby. This is a much bigger enemy, a much bigger fight than you've ever been in your life. This fight is for your life. This fight is for your family's life. This fight is for your grandchildren's life. We're in a fight. And it's time to fight. Ephesians 6. I have preached this thing numbers of times, beginning at verse 10 right there. I'm going to read verse 12 in just a second. It's about the armor of God. And I preached it, and we've gone through all these spiritual things, the helmet, the breastplate, the feet guard, and all that's wonderful and good. But we've seemed to leave out why we do all this. And I want to touch this today. I want to read verse 12 here. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now let's dissect just a little bit. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Again, I'm not wrestling with Bill Clinton. I'm wrestling with the power and the principality that motivates Bill Clinton. Are you with me? All right. Now, what we do is that all authority has been given to us. Is that correct? He's given us authority to go. But now when I get in an argument with my wife, and from time to time we do, and we yell, and we scream, and we get in this little argument at each other, do you know I don't look to see the spirit that's motivating her, and neither do I look to see the spirit that's motivating me, and I don't say, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus, and cast it out. You know what I do? Instead of binding the devil and casting the devil out, I want to bind my spouse and cast my spouse out. Because though I know I wrestle with spirits, though I know that, I haven't come into the fullness of understanding yet that it's really a demonic spirit trying to divide us. Come on. If he can divide us, my prayers are hindered. my joy is gone. I can't be happy if she's not happy. She won't let me be. Come on, hear me. You got this? And we've got to understand that behind the activity there is a spirit if it's wrong. Or if it's a spirit, if it's good. The Holy Spirit comes to do good. So there is something that's motivating us, folks, that we can't see, but is there. And it's powerful. And it's hindering our prayers. It's stopping it in the heavens. And just recently, it seems that we've burst through and that we have an open heaven. And this is what's happening right now at the Church of the Faith. What's happening in our area, in fact? Because I had a bunch of kids over at my house Wednesday night. We did the young adults and the college career guys. And man, I mean, I guess he'd just be okay, wouldn't it? Man, Israel Lee. He sat there with his own mouth. Been off doing drugs, doing all these crazy things. Run away from home. There's no authority in rebellion. Comes back now and has given his life to Jesus Christ again. Just did it a week ago. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Another guy there named Chad, in the same situation, doing the same stuff. God's moved on his life, gave his life to God, wants to know God, wants to know Jesus, man. This is something. I mean, this is great. This is incredible. And there's an open heaven right now. Now, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Are you seeing this? Now, the word there, I want us to look at a little bit. You know, I want to read some different translations of this. The Greek here, P-A-L-E, and the word really means wrestling. That's what it means. Now, different translations are going to say it differently. Some say fighting, some say struggling, but it's talking about a wrestling match. Now, it's not like you see on Saturday morning where the whole thing's planned out. I mean, this is to life and death. This is more like you see a wrestling match on college or high school or even in the Olympics. This is real. This isn't planned. You know, you're not going through all these motions and bouncing around. Man, this is he wants to pin you down. And then it's like what I saw as I was ministering, as the Lord was ministering this to me, as I saw me down pinned and us, this church down pinned, and one, two, and I saw him about to come down with a third time, and all of a sudden an unction of the Holy Ghost come, and I was able to throw it off and get up and go one more time. Now it's a wrestling match. And so what we're talking about here is wrestling. Now, the NASB Bible says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, I got several translations up here for us, and I wanna just go through them because I want this to sink into it. The Living Bible says, "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh." We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings, and great evil princesses of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Now listen, is he writing this to the lost people or to the church? Listen, folks, this isn't the lost people that's fighting with these demons, it's the Christians. We are the only light in the world. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You are in the kingdom of light, and you have a light that you've got to bring forth. And we are wrestling, fighting against, not people of flesh and blood, but we're fighting against huge numbers of wicked spirits. Today's English version. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authority, and cosmic powers of this dark age. NIV. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Phillips Modern English. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers. Let me hit on this just a little bit. Listen, there are devils on assignment. There was a devil on assignment to be the prince of Persia. There is a devil on assignment to be the prince of the kingdom of the United States of America. There is a devil on assignment to be over the kingdom of the area of Lafayette. Do you see this? It's an organized thing. Much more organized than the church is. And I'm not talking about the organized church in a negative way. I'm talking about it. Sometimes we need to come together to war. Organized to war against the unseen power that controls the dark world and spiritual agents from every headquarters of evil. There's a wicked headquarters. Jerusalem Bible, for it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the sovereignty and the powers who originate the darkness in this world, the spiritual army of evil in the heavens. It's an army. Huge numbers. And then finally, the New English Bible. For our fight is not against human foes, but against cosmic powers, against the authorities and potentates of this dark world, against the superhuman forces of evil in the heavens. Now, whether you want it or not, you are fighting with them. And you're either laying there being pinned, or you're going to stand up in war. There's no either or. You will be pinned down, and you will lose your joy. You'll lose your abundance. You'll lose your ability to talk if you don't fight. But no matter, you have been translated, and now it's time to fight. And we fight, we struggle, and we wrestle. We haven't been brought into church to sit and do our churchy things. We haven't been brought in to be isolated from and insulated from the darkness of the world. We have been brought into war against it. And you're wrestling with it whether you know it or not. Say that. Just say, I am wrestling with power that I can't see. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's the devil. We're called fight. Now, we'll just relate some scriptures to you. Don't turn, just take in some notes and write these things down and you can look at them. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lies in evil. The whole world does. The devil has this whole world in wickedness, and it's lying in it. But we've been translated out, Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Now listen, the only force on the earth is the believer. Come against the power of darkness. There is no other. The only force that will drive back hell is the believer. Revelation 12:7 says, and there was war in heaven. Now, just listen to how that fit. There was war. Does that sound futuristic to you? There was war. But yet our doctrines of men have put that in somewhere out there in the future. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has built his church to come against hell. And we'll either lay there and let him pin us, or we'll stand in the fight. Now, where do these spirits hang out? Where do these demons abide? Where do they dwell? See if we're getting something. No, not in that person next to you, in the heavenly. Now, the Bible speaks of three heavens. Now, the heavenly that this is of course, the spiritual dimension. The eyes that can be opened up and see this. Elisha's servant had to have his eyes open so that he could see this. And we can have our eyes open so that we can see this. But there is war, and it happens in the heavenly. It's not in the natural. And then, how now do we fight against it? How do we war with this thing? What has God given us to defeat it? Let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And I want to read this section again. It's a paragraph that begins at verse 10 and goes through verse 20. It's a complete thought. And now, see what he's saying, because it's so vital. It's life and death, folks. It's having an abundant life, and it's seeing God really continue to move in our city, or it's being pinned down by him. But we're wrestling and we're fighting. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, what does it say to do? Put on the full armor of God. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of this, because our struggle is with that, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, that which you be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, most times when this is preached and this is ministered, that's where they stop at. And we put on our helmet, and we put on our breastplate, and we gird our loins, and we put on our shoes, and we take up our shield, and we draw our sword. And there we are. We're ready to fight. Right? We're ready to go out into the day. Is that right? And so we go out into the day, all dressed up to fight. Is that what it says? What does it say? What do? You get all dressed up for fighting, looking good. We don't do nothing. We put this on to pray. All kinds of prayer. Now, it's all important. You got to have your helmet on. You got to have your mind right. You got to have your heart right, your breastplate. You've got to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to be productive in your life with truth. You've got to have that shield of faith that will quench the fiery darts because the enemy's coming. You've got to understand that. And you have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got to have these things to fight the fight. You've got to have them. But you don't just stand there with them. You fight with them. Now watch an army movie and you'll find, man, when they go to war, they swing and they fight and they violently go in and they want to kill, they want to destroy. And Christians hardly ever pray like that. Now stop it. There has got to be a militant that arises from down in here that makes you so mad at the devil and so mad at what he does to people and so mad at what he does to your family. It's so mad at what he does in our city that he's given us to protect. A violence. A militancy. You can't wait to attack.
Well, at Galen's this past week for our care group. Galen's house situated up over there where you can look down. I actually see McDonald's and you can't really see the city because of something, but you know you're looking right at it. And we were praying. The Lord sort of showed me this. All kind of working in me. The Lord kind of showed me that, man, we were there and we attacked. We attacked the principalities and powers over our area. And there was such a violence that was happening. There was such a force that was taking place. You could literally feel the demons start fleeing back. An attacking storm in the gates of hell. We had our weapons on. We went after them. We were over at Michelle's house Tuesday week ago. We got into a violent prayer again. David Dowda, David had been here through just about, weren't you here through just about all the Robert Gay things? But he didn't get the release until we were over there praying in a violent militant force. Is that what it happened to you? What happened to you? Say it real loud. Son of a gun, there really are demons. You've heard about two or three people today talk about how they were bound up by devils. And that through prayer, David, did we lay hands on you and cast devils out or what? No, we just got militant. Charles, we didn't lay hands on Charles. God's just doing some things, folks. And it's because there's a militant spirit that's come back into this church. There's a militant attitude that we're going to get him. So aggravated to him. I'll tell you why I'm mad. Let me read this and I'm so mad. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I'm going to get that in just a second. What is praying in the Spirit? Doctrines of devils have changed it to where it's some kind of wimpy little prayer. Hey, it's praying in the Holy Ghost. It's praying in tongues. Well, I'll show you in just a second. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. For who? For who? Let me tell you why I'm there. I ought to be a man sitting right there with his wife. A man that has made this thing work. A man that has given his life and his money. He ain't there and he's up there. I want to get violent. It's broke my foot. But I'm mad. I tell you, I'm mad. It says pray for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let's get this settled. Let's get this settled now. Doctrines of devils, doctrines of men have made the Word of God of none effect. We can't pray. I can't get in public and pray because I'm afraid I'm going to offend somebody because I'm going to talk in tongues. The doctrine of devils. I'm mad. 14:1. Pursue love. Are you with me, 1 Corinthians 14:1? Is that what I said? Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially if you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, But to who? Now, has the Bible changed? Is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, this was common to the understanding of the apostles. This is what you did when you prayed. You prayed in the Spirit. When you spoke in tongues, you weren't speaking to men. People weren't supposed to understand what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues. Unless there's an interpretation, and that comes, that's a whole other deal. But right now, what Paul is saying is that, man, when I speak in tongues, I'm talking to God. For no one understands. But in His Spirit, He speaks mysteries. Look at verse 14. Now, I'm answering the question, what is it when Paul says, pray in the Spirit? That's what I'm answering. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Let's get it. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. You really don't want me to pray in my understanding, people. What you really want me to pray for you is out of my spirit. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So when Paul talks about praying in the Spirit, you tell me, what's he talking about? And we take this word and the power of prayer, which drives back spiritual forces. Diana, that night that we were up here praying, that we were up here seeking God, that night that we were doing it, we were praying in tongues. No, she's back over here now. weren't we? And you said, I want that. Is that what you said? I want that. And she went home and God allowed her that, freed her up. She got that thing got broken off of her. That the doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils, the things that make the Word of God of none effect, it was broken off of her. And she was able to get it, to receive that grace gift. Listen, folks. Man has made the Word of God of none effect. Devil wants to take away the power of the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit. Let me read this song. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. I kick it out of gear. It's not getting through my mind. It's going out of my spirit. What is the outcome then? I shall pray. Paul the Apostle says, I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall pray, first of all, how? Isn't that interesting? And then with my mind. Listen, you'll be amazed how many times your prayer will change if you'll first pray in the Spirit. You think you're going to pray one thing, but if you'll start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, what you'll find out is that prayer will change. I'll pray in my spirit, and I'll pray in my mind also. And not only that, well, let me stop here. He says, let me tell you something else I'll do. I shall sing first and I'll sing with my understanding also. So what is Paul saying here when he says pray in the Spirit? What is he saying? What's he really talking about here? Praying in tongues. You can't get away from it. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. You build yourself up. And that's what all this is talking about is, man, you get yourself edified. You get built up. Become a mighty man of war, a mighty woman of war. Build yourself up. We go to gyms and, boy, we do all this stuff. And hey, we need to spend more time building ourselves up in the Spirit. How you do it? How do you build your spirit up? Wimpy Christians? Come on. We got to learn these things. We've got to apply these things. Stop letting the doctrines of devils change how we think and make the Word of God of none effect. Jesus says, man, you have allowed the doctrines of men to take the Word of God and make it ineffective. Back to Ephesians 6. I'll finish it up. Okay, we've put on the armor of God. Now we're coming against the gates of hell. And we see a gate. We're an army of God now. Wouldn't you think that that's what he was saying here? You know, you can read this independently. You can do this in the mornings when you get up. But wouldn't you think that it would also be inclusive and probably meaning, because he's talking to the church anyhow, that all of us should at a time put this armor on and go to fight? An army? Think about that. Oh, it's wonderful to go out all by yourself. But if I'd like to have some of you with me. You can watch my backside and around me. I might be tied up with this devil. But you see what I'm saying here? This is written to a church, people. This is an army of God that needs to be adorned for battle, for war, to storm a gate of hell. Pick one out and charge it. And if we all charge it, there should be such violence and such a release in the spirit realm that the demons drive back. Because if one can put 1,000 to fight, come on. And there's a huge number of them. We just saw that. Praying what kind of prayers? All kinds. Now, if you can't pray in the Holy Ghost, you really need to ask God, as Diana did, for this. You really need, because it is an all kind of a prayer. When you add that into your list, there's supplications, there's intercessions, there's petitions, and there's spiritual prayer. You need this. You need this to battle, to war. You'll find that it'll build you up. It'll make you strong when you need to be strong. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance.